I've appreciated all the lessons I've got from Rich Motter, and he would probably agree with me. I teach differently than all the other teachers, and we all have our little ways of teaching and ways of instructing, and people have always said about me I'm a little different. So the handout sheets are really yours to keep, and if you'd like to share them and preach to somebody this afternoon, that's fine. Usually if the students are under 20, they got to turn them in. I only see one young lady under 20, so I'll be looking for your paper at the end of class, okay? You better spell right, okay? If you're over 20, you can keep the papers. I've appreciated the lessons I've got from Rich. He's very, very thorough and has a lot of Bible. I at my point in life, I have probably more war stories than I have Bible, but I try to mix them. I really do. I don't want to just tell stories. I want to include a lot of God's Word. And illustrations and stories are a lot like windows in a building. If you don't have any windows at all, then it's pretty dark in there. And so, but if you have a house that's all windows, then it's pretty fragile. So you don't want all windows, but you want a few. And so you'll just have to bear with me when I share with you some of the war stories that I've experienced over the years, because it's in our personal trials and in our personal struggles, that's where God deepens His Word into our heart. I mean, otherwise it's just out there. It's like on a bulletin board. But when we experience something, then it kind of like He burns it into us. And we seem to remember it a little bit longer and sometimes a little bit better. So hopefully you'll appreciate the differences that the various Sunday school teachers have. I told Rich that if I pass out during class, he's supposed to jump up here, take the mic, and take over. So he's got his instructions. I like to start by asking people for a little bit of feedback throughout the week. I will probably ask these questions again while I'm up here teaching. I like to ask three people to tell us how the Lord gave them a good deal this week. I think the Lord is very interested in believers getting their dollars to spread as far as they can, and I think the Lord helps us to find good deals. So I want three people to be ready to share with us how you saved some money this week or how the Lord gave you a good deal. And then I'm going to ask three of you to tell me something new that you learned this week, something brand new that you never knew a week ago, but you learned new this week. And it can be from God's Word, and it could be something just generically out there, but something new that you learned. Saturday morning at the prayer breakfast for the men, I learned that the aircraft carriers out in the ocean, a lot of them are nuclear driven. They have their own nuclear system of generating fuel, and I never thought about that. But they don't have to send out extra truckloads of oil and gas to these big aircraft carriers because they have fueling systems on the ship and they make their own fuel. And I never knew that before. So that's something new that I learned. So be ready to share something new. And then the third question, I'm going to get started here. Then we're going to pray and ask for some volunteers. Tell me one thing you know about Psalm 119. Because for the next few weeks, if the Lord tarries and the rapture doesn't occur, we're going to be looking in depth at Psalm 119. It's a favorite psalm of mine, and I hope it becomes a favorite psalm of yours. It's 176 verses, so you know I can't cover it in two Sundays, okay? It's going to take a while, but it's a rich, rich study. And so I hope you enjoy listening to it and learning as much as I enjoy teaching it. So those are the questions. Put your thinking caps on. Go to verse 67. Let's start there. Verse number 67. By the way, I'm going to be asking for volunteers to read these verses. And I'll just say, who wants to read the verse at the end of number one? Just raise your hand. You can take number one, and then I'll ask somebody to be ready to read number two. And so I need six volunteers. You'd be ready to do that as well. I'm at the age where I need a pulpit, Jeremy. I need a pulpit with a little hydraulic jack so I can bring this closer to my eyes. I'm at bifocals now, and I think within the next year I might even be at trifocals. So these words down here, some of them seem like they're a mile away. And but I do have a large print Bible, so hopefully I'll be able to read everything I'm supposed to read here. I said we're going to start with verse number 67, and since Rich Motter got an extra hour of sleep this morning because he didn't have to prepare the lesson, Rich, would you stand up and read verse 67 out loud and then open our class with prayer? Would you do that? Amen. All right, before we get into the meat, I want three people to tell me a good deal they got this week. And if you don't volunteer, I'm going to pick on you. And if I don't know your names, I'm going to just say somebody with a green shirt. Okay, Jim, you're ready to go.
I get a good deal at Running Sisters.
What'd you buy?
A ground blind for $99.
Okay, and how much is it regularly?
$129.
So we'll expect $30 an offering today from you, okay? Anybody else get a good deal this week? Some of you got good deals you don't dare share, huh?
Yeah.
Whoops, over here.
I hope I got a good deal. We got settled with the insurance company, and I bought a corn planter, and they cut quite a little off the price because of why I think they wanted to do it because they just bought it.
Yeah, in 3 months, you'll know whether you got a good deal. Okay, a corn planter. All right. Somebody else, one more. You got a good deal this week. Rip.
I went to the sale yesterday and I got a good deal. I didn't buy
anything. Your wife got a good deal. She's the one with a good deal. She didn't buy anything. All right, how about something new? And I already told you what I learned about nuclear submarines and nuclear ships and stuff. Did you learn anything brand new this week, either from God's Word or reading the paper or something you never heard before? Something brand new you can share with the rest of us? And if you don't, be thinking, because next week I'll probably ask the same question, okay? Something new that you learned. Oh, you guys. The what?
Does today count?
Today counts, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
The verse I was just read.
Okay. Before you were afflicted, you went astray.
That's,
yeah, a lot of us. Yeah, a lot of us have that where we learn better when we're under fire. All right. How about the last question then? I'll show some mercy here on the second question, but the last question. What do you know about Psalm 119? Oh, Jeremy. Okay, you're right. Technically, there's 176 verses. The various scholars that I have read, most of them say there's a reference to the Word of God in 174 of the 176 verses. But another professor I read said that there's even two verses that imply the Word of God. So he includes all 176 of them. Every verse in Psalm 119 points us to the Word of God. Every verse. That's why it's such a phenomenal passage to study. Anybody else know anything about Psalm 119? Does anybody have right underneath the beginning of Psalm 119 who scribed it? Does it say a Psalm of David or a Psalm of Asaph or a Psalm of anybody? Okay, good. I was going to ask you... A lot of, here again, professors and theologians disagree on this, and they're allowed to do that, I guess. We'll all get it right when we get to heaven. I would say the majority of people think that David's footprints are in Psalm 119. In other words, it reads like some of the other things that David wrote. So many would say it was probably David. But I have heard not only Ezra is a huge possibility, because Ezra was selected as one of the priests to rule Israel. You have 400 and some Jewish priests, and one is selected to lead the country. And Ezra is one of those that led Israel for a period of time. It could well have been Ezra, I think. And that would be one that I would lean towards, as much as David would be possibly Ezra. Yes? Somebody over here have their hand? Oh, they were just scratching their ear, okay. Daniel has been suggested as a possible author for Psalm 119. This we can say for sure. It's the Holy Spirit of God that inspired the writer. And it's the Word of God to us. And it was not only valuable 3,000 years ago, it was valuable 1,000 years ago, and it's especially valuable today. Because if our nation, if we as individuals, or we as a church, or we as a nation, if we walk away from the Word of God, it'll be our loss. We will suffer the greatest loss. And so I think it's important and it's healthy for us to learn as much as we can about Psalm 119. All right. Who will be ready with number one? Well, we've already done number one, so we'll let you off the hook. Who'll be ready with number two in just a second? Raise your hand and be ready to read it good and loud when it's your turn. That's all you got to do is read it, and I'll do the rest, okay? We'll take number two. Okay, you're going to take number two. Don't read it right now. Just be ready when I tell you. Thank you. She has number two. Who'll take number three? We got the ball rolling now. I'm an auctioneer, okay? Number three. Do I hear a bid? Number three. We have number three over here. Number four. Who'll have number four ready in just a minute to read it? We have number four over here. Who'll have number five? Yeah. Yep. I couldn't tell who said that. Back there. You got number five and number six. One more. Okay. You got it. Be ready with number six. All right. Let's start with number one here. I did give this paper to Pastor Yoder, and I told him, I said, I want you to come up with six answers, because there's six blanks there, and I want you to alliterate them. And he said, really? He said, well, what are the words? I said, you go find your own words. I said, I have mine. You find yours. So it's going to be interesting to see what he comes up with. He said he would do that. The first blank there is the word keep. Now, before we even get on number one, I need to go up there where it says introduction and definitions. How about a couple of people giving me a one-word guess? How would you define affliction? If you're in elementary school now and your teacher says, write a dictionary today and define the word affliction with what you know, I want three people to give me a one-word definition of affliction. Who'll be first? Affliction. A sickness, okay, good. I'm going to see if you can guess my four words. That word would fit, but that's not one of the four that I picked for this morning. Sickness is a good word. What would you pick?
Loss.
Loss would be a good word. A trial would be a good word. Oh, you're getting close. Anybody else? Troubles? Close. You're on the right letter anyway. I have two of them start with T. What would you say? Suffering is good. These are all good definitions of affliction. It's not that you're wrong. It's just that you pick different words than I pick. That's all. Punishment, that's a good word. One more. Okay, let me give you the four I picked.
Trial.
Let me give you the four I picked from the dictionary, okay? Number one, I picked the word painful, and I just have a small dictionary. I'm sure if you had several dictionaries, you'd come up with a lot of definitions here, but the ones that I found were painful, number one. Distressful, that was the second word I picked. Tormented is the third word, if you're filling in the blanks there. And tortured. So affliction, according to the little dictionary I have at home, implies something painful, something distressful, something tormented, something tortured, plus all the other words that you shared. So afflictions not only are very common, but there's also a lot of definitions for affliction. My daughter sent me this in the mail this week, and or over the phone. I keep getting mail and text mixed up these days. She sent it by mail to my wife's phone, okay? And then I took it off my wife's phone, but I thought it was pretty good. And it says, when we face life's afflictions, it is okay to be angry, but not to be arrogant. It is okay to be baffled, but not belligerent. It is okay to cry, but not to be carnal. It is okay to be distressed, but not destructive. It is okay to be heavy-hearted, but not to be hurtful. It is okay to be overwhelmed, but not overcome. It is okay to be relentless, but not rebellious. It is okay to be sad, but we should not be sassy. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know where she got it, but I stole it from her, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning because it is so true. The title here is Thankful in Our Trials. We know from 1 Peter 4 that trials will happen. What, think ye not strange, the fiery trial which is to happen to you, it says in 1 Peter 4:12. It doesn't say that you're going to escape them. It says they're going to happen sooner or later. And I'm sure if we took all the trials that you people have experienced in this room, we'd have a pretty big pile. Psychologists said that if you could somehow take people's problems and trials and put them in a heap, and then ask them to go to the pile and take one out, that most people would take out their own trial because that's what they've learned to deal with. And I think that's true. I wouldn't want your cancer trial. I wouldn't want the loss of a mate. I wouldn't want Wes's situation. I wouldn't want that. But people have a tendency to adjust to the trials and the struggles that God gives them. And I think it's amazing that there's so many of them, but they are coming. The next little phrase there, I think I mentioned this before, at Northland a college student graduated, and on the bottom of his picture he had put Psalm 119 on his diploma day. That was his life's verse, Psalm 119, so that's why I have Psalm 119 as our subject. Now, in the future, I will be taking each of these eight-word breakdowns of the Hebrew alphabet in segments. But I do also want to, at times, pick out key words that can be found in Psalm 119. And such is the case today. Affliction is a common word in Psalm 119. And I think it's worth studying. So here you go. This is brand new from me to you. It's not something I picked out of a book. It's just something the Lord gave me, so I hope it's helpful. Number one is the word keep. Afflictions help us keep His word. If I can read the verse again, it was verse number 67. Behold, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. So the first one is keep. And keeping God's word is simply a matter of being obedient. So right above the word keep, I have the word obedience. Our daughter, when she was 5, maybe 6 years old, maybe Lynn can tell you the exact age, she was bit by the neighbor dog. And our pastor, Bill Parker, and his wife, Edna was a nurse. And as soon as our daughter got bit, Edna said, you need to go to the hospital and get that girl rabies shots. And I said to myself, if I remember correctly, rabies shots are painful. And rabies shots are not free. And so I decided we were going to be like in the New Testament, who was it that put his hand in the fiery flames and he was bit by an adder, bit by a spider, and he just shook it off. And I thought, Rachel can do that. She's a tough little monkey. She's a tough little girl. She got a little scratch. I said, we'll just trust the Lord to take care of Rachel. Well, we got so much flack from all the mothers and all the nurses in the congregation that I was loaded with guilt here. What do I do? And I even called the sheriff. I said, we can't find the dog who bit our little girl. what should I do with this rabies series? I said, it's expensive, we don't have insurance, and it's painful. And sheriff said, well, if it was my daughter, I would get the shots. He said, it's not worth the risk. Well, I still wasn't convinced that that would be the best thing to do. So after worrying about this for a couple of days, we were running out of the time frame to get these shots, I just thought, you know, I'm going to obey God's word. The Bible says, honor your mother and father, that your days will be long. And so I thought, I'm going to honor Grandma and Grandpa. I'm going to call up Lynn's dad, and whatever he says to do, that's what we're going to do. Now, half the people had told me, don't worry about the shots. She doesn't need it. She just got a little scratch. The other half of the people said, you need to get the shots because she should get rabies. She could get rabies, and she could die. So I thought, I'm just going to trust the Lord and do what our father-in-law says, do what Lynn's dad says. So I call him up, and I said, Norm, we got a problem. Your granddaughter was bit by a dog. And the skin was broke. There was some blood. We're trying to decide whether to get the rabies shots or forget them. And trust the Lord that you'll be fine. And Grandpa didn't hesitate. He said, you get those shots right away. And he said, if money's a problem, he says, we'll help you pay for it. So I said, well, okay. We went in and got the shots. My daughter was, like I said, 6, 7, 5, somewhere in there, real young. And on the way to the clinic, I said, now, honey, I'll tell you what. These shots you're going to get in your backside, they're going to hurt. I will give you $1 if you don't cry. You can cry when you get home, but don't make a scene at the clinic. And, of course, I didn't realize how much kids love money. Do you know that little girl took 8 shots? 8 shots and never cried for one of them. And at the end of the 8th shot, she said, where's my money? But I just tried to honor God and his word in that particular trial, because to Rachel it was torment. She suffered some torture from the dog bite. She was probably distressed over what would happen next. And I'm sure it was painful to her. And it was for her parents as well. But we were going to be obedient to God's word. And the afflictions, verse 67, the afflictions caused us in that situation to trust God and to honor his principles. And so it worked for us. Let's go to the second one here. Who was willing to read verse 71? I think it was back here. Okay, it seems like an odd verse. The psalmist writes, it's good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, usually, when I get afflicted, I usually say, Lord, what is going on? Why are you chastening me? I usually have questions for the Lord when I get some pain. What did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? And here in this verse 71, the psalmist says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, in our life, Lynn and I, the most terrible thing we've had to endure was Lynn's brain tumor episode, which was long and difficult and extremely expensive. But you know what? The Lord used that situation to draw us to himself. It wasn't easy. I wouldn't wish it on any of you. But the Lord did use that affliction and did use that trial to push us to his truth. And most of you don't know this, but the first few weeks after she went in the hospital, I just trusted God. But after 2 or 3 months, I began to go to other churches looking for solutions. I began to go to other churches and see if they had an answer for us. And every time I would go to another church, the Lord would send me back to his word. And then I'd try this group, and he'd send me back to his word. And then I'd try this group, and he'd send me back to his word. And so the trial and your trials and your afflictions, if you're humble and teachable and meek, these trials will push you towards God. Jesus, in the New Testament, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. And if he really is after your heart and he's really after using you, he's going to have to turn the burners up sometimes or allow the burners to be turned up. And there's going to have to be a little bit of affliction that pushes you to truth, because prosperity usually doesn't. I've been told the folks in Russia are praying for America because our prosperity is driving us from God. And here we are in America, we're praying for Russia because in their poverty, we think they have it tough. They're over there praying for us because they think we could probably use some afflictions to become more spiritual. And we're over here praying for them because we think they have nothing. And we're praying for their poverty. I think it's better to be poor and close to God than to be wealthy and not need him. And a lot of times painful things bring poverty. And we have nothing left to do but trust God. And so the second one here is the word learn. Afflictions help us learn his statutes. And if you have spiritual insight and spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge today, there's a good chance that there was some painful thing that pushed you to the Bible, that drew you to the Lord, so that you could gain that wisdom. So the second one is the word learn. Now the third one here, who had verse number 75? Okay, the word that I chose for number three is appreciate. Now, you notice that I didn't alliterate the answers this time. I told the pastor to alliterate them. I gave him some extra work because he's the boss. I mean, he should know. He should know a lot of words. So it's going to be interesting to see what he comes up with. But I chose the word appreciate. Afflictions help us appreciate his judgments. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, for the most part, judgments are thought of as being negative and being critical and being harmful. But I've been in the courtroom a few times, and I know there are some good judgments. Believe it or not, Lynn, that lovely wife of mine, was actually fired from a job one time. Well, she wasn't fired. They let her go, and then the employer said, he fired her because she had a mean spirit. Those of you that know her say, where did he come up with that? The reason he put that he fired her was so that he didn't have to pay unemployment taxes so high. And she wouldn't be able to draw unemployment. So he put in there, she was fired. Well, that's not the way it works. So we went to court. And I wasn't a believer at the time, but I thought, man, he can't get away with this. So we went to court, and the judge, after going for the hearing, they brought a judge up from Minneapolis. It happened in Bemidji, and the meeting was scheduled at the courthouse on a Friday morning or something, and the owner of the restaurant did not even show up. And so I asked the judge from the cities, I said, now what happens? He said, well, if he didn't show up, obviously he's guilty. He said, you will get all your back pay and all your unemployment checks delivered to you by next week. And so she got this big pile of unemployment checks that we were able to spend and have a good time with. But that was a good judgment. It went in our favor because the restaurant owner was wrong and it was inappropriate what he did. And we challenged him with a court case, and the judge said, the Forsbergs are right, the restaurant owner is wrong. Therefore, they get the judgment. They get the settlement. And so I just want you to know that the Lord has good judgments. It says that thy judgments are right. When God casts a judgment and a punishment and vengeance on somebody, he does that because he's the just God, and he always does the right thing. Always does the right thing. That thou in thy faithfulness, he's faithful to do the right thing. and thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. So the third one is appreciate. The fourth one, who had verse 92? Okay, for number four, I choose the word delight. Afflictions help us to delight in his law. They actually help us to trust his law. Well, it seems kind of strange, then how would an affliction work like that? Well, if you delight in God's truth, and you love his word, and you're continually going to his word, when a trial or affliction comes, that's where you're going to go. Because you delighted in it, that's where you go. One of the saddest cases I heard has happened in Prince Albert, Canada. One of the deacons of Raymond Dell, anybody know Pastor Raymond Dell from Canada, Prince Albert? Pastor Dell had a deacon that had a brain tumor. And his brain tumor was inoperable. But the brain tumor caused so much pain in this deacon's head that he would put a belt on his around his head, and he would tighten it as tight as he could with the belt loop, and he'd tighten an extra notch or two, and that's how he would relieve the pain. Well, the pain kept getting worse, and the surgery was not possible because it would have led to death. And so the deacon ended his life. He committed suicide. You say, well, I never should have done that. Well, you and I know that. Thou shalt not kill. We know that suicide is always the wrong answer. But can you understand a little bit why he might? I mean, I can. I get it. Why go to the butcher shop and let them? I mean, I can understand a fellow in this situation probably doing that. But I got to confess, when it happened, I really went to God's word. And I said, God, why? Why does this happen to a good deacon in a good Baptist church who wouldn't hurt a fly? And yet he went out and ended his life. And God says, actually, he spoke to me in a song, farther along, you'll know all about it. Farther along, you'll understand why. And I just said, okay, Lord, I don't get it today, but I trust you. I'm going to try to delight in your word, even though this man perished by a self-inflicted wound. I'm still going to delight in your truth. And afflictions can do that. They can cause us, maybe not immediately, to delight in his word, but eventually we can continue to delight in his word. So afflictions help us delight. They help us keep, they help us learn, they help us appreciate, they help us delight. Who had number 107? Psalmist says he had a lot of affliction, but what he was after was quickening. Now, quickening is revival. Quickening is to be brought back to normal. Quickening is to have your spirit, your spiritual side energized. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. And when God originally created Adam and Eve, and there was no sin, that was normal. That was the way God intended it to be. But after Adam's sin, Adam and Eve rebelled and said they're going to trust their own gut and they're going to follow the lies of Satan, and they sinned and they fell into sin. That's when things no longer were normal. Sin came into the world. And bacteria and cancer and death and blood. All that happened after the fall. And when the rapture occurs, and after the Lord's millennial reign, things are going to be put back to normal. They're really going to be quickened because he will be in charge of everything. And on an individual, personal basis, you and I, as we go through our Christian walk, there are times when we need to be brought back to life. There are times when we need to get on the same page that God's on. There are times when we need to be energized and re-strengthened for the work. And so you and I need quickening. Now, if you want to add some other verses, right after verse 107, just write these down. Write down 154, 149, 156, 159. All of those verses in the next few pages talk about our need for quickening. And we're out of time, so we won't be able to go there now, but you can look them up when you get home, okay? Quickening is the key to personal, church, and national revival. All of us need quickening. And there are times when afflictions will quicken us. The last one is verse 53. Who had that? There's a correction on your paper. It's not 53, it's 153. So I'm sorry to the person who wanted to read that. Go to 153. Psalm 119, verse 153.
Consider my affliction and deliver me, so I do not forget thy law.
Okay. Number six is the word deliver. Afflictions remind us of God's power to deliver us. Now, deliverance does not mean only salvation, even though it includes salvation. Deliverance, a lot of times, means rescue. We need help during our cancer battles. We need help during our bankruptcy trial. We need help during the divorce that... Did you folks know that divorce happens to Christians? You're aware of that? Are you aware that cancer happens to Christians? You're aware of that? Well, we need help during these times. And we need God's deliverance during these difficult times. And when we get on the other side of that tragedy or that cancer or that death, we look back and we say, oh, now I see what God was doing. He was molding me for use in His kingdom. He was molding me so that I might be able to help others. He was making me pliable and usable so that I can be used in various ministries. And so afflictions remind us of God's power to deliver us. We need Him every minute, every hour, and day by day. And so we need His deliverance powers. One was keep, two was learn, three appreciate, four delight, five quickening, six was deliver. I need to close. Remember the next time that you experience pain or distress or torment or torture or loss or whatever, keep in mind God may well just be drawing you to Himself. The songwriter says, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you, especially in your afflictions. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Did you miss any of the answers? Okay, let's stand and